This is just a quick thought on the readings from the last Sunday. This actually here is a reading from Luke chapter 14. The reading is, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." That's basically, that's it. I mean, the word in there is hate. I mean, it's an interesting word, hate. Why would they say hate? And most people that dwell on it, pastors I've talked to or heard speaking from the pulpit, they dwell on that word as though this is, it means readjusting your hierarchy of goods. So it's not hate as in, boy, I hate my father, and therefore you're a disciple of Jesus. It's more, I know that Jesus is the most important thing. Christ is the most important thing. And so my father, mother, and all those other relatives are secondary in that hierarchy of goods. And if push comes to shove, I choose Jesus Christ over my family members. And I'm not saying that's a bad way to read it, but it does seem a little bit harsh. And I've always thought it is a little harsh. I went back to look at the Greek to see what the Greek actually said. So here is my very bad pronunciation of the Greek, just for the record. Eitis erkatai pros me kai umise ton patra eutu kai ten metra kai ten gunika kai ta tekna kai tus adelphus kai tas adelphus eti te kai ten suken eautu u dunatai enai mu mathetes. Sorry to all those Greek scholars out there for my mispronunciation of the Greek. But what is interesting to me in looking this up, and I used Perseus Project for this, by the way, if you've ever wanted to delve into Greek or Latin, perseusproject.com has a number of different really good texts from the ancient world that they made into hypertext. And so you can actually take a Greek text and search for the meaning of words in Liddell and Scott and Outenreith and other dictionaries. So in this passage, notice there's a phrase in here, mise ton patera. Mise, that word, comes from miseo. Misos is the noun, miseo is the verb. It translates as hate, that's true. Liddell does tell us that hate is the first translation. So I suppose the translation of whoever does not hate his father and mother is perfectly legit. But in our culture, hate has taken on that other meaning, that other sort of like, I love this, I hate that. And of course, we've thought about the idea that the opposite of love is not hate, it's indifference, right? Hate is, in some ways, due to the fact that you love something else intently. So you can translate mise as hate. Sure, yeah, miseo, hate. But there is an idiomatic element, too. And I found this quite interesting. Probably poetic. It appears in Liddell. There's a passage in Liddell that runs from Pindar, the poet Pindar. And it reads like this. Again, apologies for the Greek. Misesen diara minkusi kurma genestai. And it translates as Zeus hated, that is, would not suffer, that he should become a prey to dogs. I'll read that again. Zeus would not suffer that he should become a prey to dogs. Zeus would not suffer that he should become a prey to dogs. So that kind of brings up echoes of passages like, suffer the little children to come unto me, or endure the little children to come unto me. It's not hate so much as will not endure, will not suffer. Or opposite, would suffer, right? To suffer something, miseo. I'm not sure whether misery, our word misery, comes from this or has a connection, but it probably has a connection to this word misery, to suffer, to endure. And that got me to thinking, imagine if that Lucan passage above, right, were translated differently. So here's the original translation. If any man come to me, well, the original translation, right? If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. What if it were translated a little differently? What if it were with that idea of suffering instead of hating? Then we might have something like this. If any man come to me and does not suffer his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, suffer his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Does that make a difference? I mean, for instance, with the hate passage, with the hate translation, it's almost like Christ is encouraging you to go out of your way to hate your relatives. It's almost like he's saying, you know, that you have to hate your relatives if you follow me. And then there's this sort of like paradox, right? Because Christ is supposed to be love. But it also forces us in a way to gloss over that little phrase, his own life also, right? If any man come to me, blah, 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 and doesn't hate his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Hate your own life? That seems neurotic. Seems very odd. But if it's translated as suffer or endure, then we've got a really different connotation, I think. To suffer your father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters. I mean, who was it? Jean-Paul Sartre, who said, hell is other people. Sartre, hell is other people. Now, Sartre was a weirdo, French weirdo. And he says, hell is other people. What if it isn't? What if hell is actually yourself? You know, and what if all the problems you experience with other people, disliking them so much, like the character out of Dostoevsky's great work, Notes from the Underground, what if you hate all these other people because you are the problem? If you are the problem, right, don't you have to overcome yourself in order to seek salvation? And isn't part of seeking salvation enduring the fact that other people are human with mistakes and flaws, that they are themselves trying to work out their problems in the midst of this crazy world? If we translate it that way, suddenly we have to start thinking about what Christ is actually saying. He's actually saying, it seems to me, love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, treat other people with what the Greek word is, agape. That is a sharing of God's love, an overabundance of God's love that we share generously, beneficently, because other people are also trying to make their way in the world. And part of our job, it seems to me, is to endure other people, to suffer other people, to be patient with them, and to accept the fact that they've got their own flaws and mistakes and worries and neuroses that they're trying to work out. And at the heart of it, then, if we translate the passage with suffer instead of hate, at the heart of it is that we also have to suffer our own life, because really what's being said is forgive yourself first. Endure the fact that you are in error, that you make mistakes, that you're mortal, that you're human. Endure the fact that you have brother ass, as St. Francis used to call his body, which will grow old and will get broken and diseased and weak and fall apart. Endure that, suffer that, take up that cross and walk. I mean, it's fascinating, for instance, that the phrase etitekai tein sukein eautu is usually translated as and his own life also. But notice the word in there, sukein, that's the soul. In other words, and the verb miseo, and suffer also his own soul. And suffer also his own soul. Not his own life, but his own soul. What if that translation of and his own life also was originally wrong, and indeed it was suffer his own soul also? The implication is that, yeah, your family and other people are a pain in the neck. But the problem isn't them. It's you. And you have to endure your own humanity first, and then recognize their humanity with all its faults. And only then Can you be counted as Christ's disciple to drink from the cup that he drinks from?